Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
You may not recognize it, but it's an arrangement by someone named Raman Djawadi, who makes music for movies and events such as the Olympics, and that is his arrangement of the Rolling Stones' Want to Paint It Black, which was used by a U.S. skating pair just a couple of days ago. So somebody secured the copyrights for all of that, and, you know, copyright is, why, that's a legal thing. And that brings us to Rich Lankoff, attorney over at the Capital Member Downey and Lankoff and co-host of Legal Face-Off. Good evening, Rich. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, you know that. No problem. So, do you want to talk about these, the copyright aspects of music being used at the Olympics?
Sure. I mean, you know, this is kind of a complex issue that has been percolating for a while. Basically, the issue is that a lot of the Olympians, particularly the skaters, have been using music for a number of years in their performance. But in recent years, in the last 10 years or so, the International Skating Union allowed the use of lyrics in the hope, basically, of getting, you know, younger audiences. And doing so led to a lot of the performers who own the copyright or the songwriters to assert that their music was being used without their permission. So that kind of led to some of the chaos that we've seen largely resolved. But in the first, you know, week of the Olympics, this was a major issue. We saw the Olympian who was, you know, using the Minions, for example. That was an issue, and a couple of other Olympians. But for the most part, it's been resolved.
Well, I think people should realize that you just don't go in there and take somebody's efforts, especially with lyrics and copyright and who the singer and the songwriter, and just slap it on one of the biggest televised stages of the year and not get some sort of blowback. I mean, I can just imagine some performer who didn't have any idea that his or hers songs were going to be used in the Olympics, and they settled into settle down for a nice evening of watching the Olympics, and on come some skating pair, and bang, there's their tune. I mean, that would be a bit of a shock. What have they... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, exactly true, and I mean, to your point, and it's kind of ironic, in one case, with the American skater Amber Glenn, she had been using music from a Canadian artist for 2 years. I mean, you know, we know how much there is a rivalry between Canada and the U.S. when it comes to the Olympics. You know, this Canadian artist was surprised to learn that a song had been used, you know, to defend their gold medal last weekend. So, yeah, I mean, you're right, John. The ultimate takeaway is, like, when you're using the IP of someone else, get permission, right? It's not a very complicated legal theory.
Yes. There's also, you must be aware of this accusation by Sweden accusing the Canadian men's curling team of cheating. You aware of this one?
Well, of course I'm aware. As a Canadian myself, I was a little surprised. We're known as some of the most polite people in the world, as you know. The second word out of our mouth is usually sorry. and this curler who was seen on video clearly, you know, touching that rock and cheating, you know, used an expletive that's not been heard around the world. So not too great. You know, he later came out and apologized, but not the greatest moment in Canadian athletics.
Now, wait a minute. Did the curling contestant apologize for his language, or did he admit that he had cheated?
Yeah, only for his language. I don't think he has admitted that he cheated, but Yeah, this is the second most shameful event in Canadian Olympic history besides, you know, of course, Ben Johnson back in the day.
Well, you know, I didn't realize that you were a Canadian, but, you know, I lived in Toronto for a couple of years, and you are absolutely correct. Right. The Canadian stereotype is one of extreme, very polite, never, you know, I would go to a game and wait and something, I would go to like a Toronto Argonauts Canadian football game and something great would happen. And I'm like, where's the cheering? You know, it was so relatively quiet compared to what it had been in the United States. So what are the rules in curling? He asked of a Canadian, hoping that he would have an answer.
Well, you are not allowed to touch the rock after you release it and, you know, give it a little sort of bump, a little encouragement as it travels down the ice. And that's what the video shows this athlete doing. And, you know, they called him out on it. And, of course, on the ice, he denied it and swore at the other team. And then you could see him clearly doing that on video. So.
You know, I didn't know how that did it turn out. Did that team, Canadian team, win a medal, or were they out of it?
No, they did. They, in fact, did not win a medal. So perhaps that was justice happening after all.
Yeah, I mean, so there's no continual controversy about it. I mean, is there another step that's going to be taken? I mean, is the Canadian team going to be officially reprimanded by the Olympic Committee, or is it? Over and done.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what the current situation is, but I know that you know that video. That video clearly has been widely seen. They eventually, I mean, they ended up losing to the Swiss. I think it was 8-7. So I don't know
what happened,
but it was it was double touching.
Yeah, I was also looking over some of the disqualifications from various Olympic events. And you know how when someone is timed in their event, it is down to the nanosecond. Well, so apparently is everything else. There's an American ski jumper, Annika Belshaw, who was disqualified at the 2026 Winter Olympics because her skis were too long by 1 centimeter, which is like, okay, we're getting very picky here. 1 centimeter. Who measures that? Do they, I mean, it's like, here are my skis, somebody measure them, or don't they usually just let whoever is competing bring their skis in there and let them go? I never heard of that before, that there could be a situation where somebody's skis could be a centimeter longer. I mean, to me, as an outsider, that's nothing, but I guess to an Olympian, that's a big deal, right?
Not only that, but, you know, ski jumping is, you know, the equipment is based on what percentage of your height and weight. And you're right, this American was eliminated. I think it was like less than a half an inch.
Yeah.
But there have been rumors that athletes have been injecting themselves to, you know, adhere to this formula. So there's that out there.
Oh, wait.
But yeah,
Wait a minute. Who's injecting what?
Well, some of the allegedly are. That's what some are speculating, that some are injecting themselves in order to have their equipment qualify. Because, again, I think it's like your skis cannot be more than 140% of your BMI or something like that. So,
okay,
you know, there's some allegations that people are altering that to meet those qualifications.
Very, very scientific, very analytical, very creative on the athlete part, allegedly, if they're doing that, because this isn't a doping scandal. This is, I guess, they're trying to increase their body mass so that it would match the ski length. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. I mean, the longer ski length, you know, the longer. I mean, it's basically a wing, right? I mean, you're flying through the air. These things are acting as wings. So I guess that's the logic behind it.
Amazing. Rich Lenkoff, we're going to do some more about the legalities of the Olympics when we come back at 720 WGN. 720 WGN and O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. I believe that's the way that goes. And Rich Lenkoff, you hear him, you love him. He's you know, he's an attorney, and as it turned out, just found out tonight he's from Canada. Which brings me to, you must have some sort of interest in the what will be the clash for the gold medal in women's hockey between the United States and Canada. And I believe that is that tomorrow? Or is it in the next couple of days? Does anybody know? Because I don't want to miss it. Because it's going to be a big deal, as far as I know. And apparently it's some history behind these two teams having some sort of...
I think the game's on Thursday.
Thursday? Okay. Do you know anything about this, Rich? Are you following this particular competitive story?
Of course. I mean, you know, it should be noted that I am a dual citizen, but, you know, my heart does belong to Canada when it comes to hockey. I'll be rooting for the women's team and for the inevitable matchup between the Canada and American men's team, I hope. Yeah, they play Thursday night against the winner of yeah, I mean, the two teams have faced off many times before, and it should be a great game.
Yeah, and I think it's impossible to, at least in my opinion, to extract the Olympics from the rest of the world and the politics that go on in that world. And certainly there have been plenty of news stories concerning the United States and Canada that have absolutely nothing to do with sports. And I don't know if that trickles into the attitudes of athletes on either side, but it's, I mean, it's something that's there, and it might add a little extra edge to it. I mean, this is an analogy that really doesn't hold weight, but I'll do it anyway. Back at the Lake Placid Olympics for the Miracle on Ice, the political climate was really charged because there are Iranian hostages and the Cold War really actually was still running, and you had a team of quote-unquote professional hockey players from Russia posing as military officers, and then you had a bunch of college kids. But I'm just saying that the environment and the political situation in the world then led to the excitement, I guess one might say. I'm not drawing a direct comparison, but as I said, you can't take the Olympics out of the rest of the world. And apparently there is some sort of history, which I should have done some research on, of the competitive nature between the Canadian women's hockey teams. And they have made some, I think both sides have made some statements like, you know, like they're hyping the event. You know what I'm saying?
There's no question. I mean, this is the seventh time these two teams will face each other for the gold. Yeah. They're the two most dominant teams. The Americans are favored here. But I think you're right. I mean, you know, listen, it's a rivalry that generally stays on the ice and is good-natured. Mm-hmm. You know, in this Olympics, because of, you know, what a lot of Canadians perceive, not perceive, but, you know, the reality is that Trump... Yes. Right. has attacked Canada over and over again and has called Canada the 51st state, continues to disrespect Canadian prime minister by calling him governor. Yep. You know, in Davos, the prime minister of Canada, you know, had a widely respected speech asserting Canadian independence. So the stakes are higher this time for sure. You know, if you ask anyone who runs any kind of tourism or hospitality business that generally attracts a lot of Canadians, business is way down.
Oh, yeah.
Las Vegas, for example, is really hurting because of the amount of Canadians who are boycotting traveling to the States. So, you're right. With that as a backdrop, the stakes in this game are much higher than ever.
Well, Rich, I want to thank you for being with us. Is there anything that you would care to add that I did not get to?
Well, we are taping tomorrow. We actually we had one segment today for Legal Faceoff. We covered the latest in the disappearance of Savannah Guthrie's mother, you know, and tomorrow we'll be discussing lots of topics, including a big pickleball brawl. You know, pickleball games are getting dangerous. A bunch of 60-year-olds down in Florida. 20 different people were arrested, so be careful out there when you're playing pickleball.
Will do. I'm going to get to that story a little bit later. Thanks again for being with us, Rich. It's always great to talk to you.
It's a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.